Hey folks, I'm Katie Ganaway and you are listening to Arts Underground. Funny You Should Ask is back this week with a local comedian who will make you belly laugh every single time. It is Sci-Fi. Hello, Sci-Fi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are
you? Yeah, good, good. Okay, so first things first, you got to talk about where you grew up. Are you from Huntsville?
Not originally, no.
Okay.
I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York.
Ooh,
I moved. Everybody always hears.
Like, I know.
They
I know.
Never hear it until
I'm
I start
not
saying
unique.
Those words.
Okay. Like, sorry.
No, you're good. I moved to Alabama around high school age, and then I moved to Huntsville probably 9 years ago, 8-9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, just
do you like it? Do you like it here?
It's affordable. It's better than Brooklyn, I'll tell you that.
So, growing up, who were some of your influences? Did you listen to any like comedy albums or like watch a comedy special over and over and over again?
Yes and no. I thought, well, when I was a kid, I grew up watching BET Comic View.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a really big thing in my house. So much so, like when I was 12, I got my appendix taken out. And while I was in the hospital, BET Comic View came on. And I was laughing so hard that my stitches like were coming out, and
oh my god!
But me and my mother wouldn't turn off the TV. We just kept laughing. We just thought it was so funny.
You just press the nurse button over and over again.
Oh, I'm just hitting it like a fighter jet trying to eject, but just bleeding out my side.
Oh
like,
my god.
This is how I go. But yeah. I thought,
wait, who was on?
Lavelle Crawford.
Okay, Crawford. I know Lavelle. Yeah.
And
well, I know who he is. I don't mean to say it.
Hey, no,
I don't know him personally.
I raised an eyebrow. I was like, okay, big time. You know Lavelle?
No.
But
not yet.
Hey, there you go. That's the energy I like. But I just thought, I didn't even know he was like a celebrity or anything. I thought, you know, if you crack a joke around your family about, oh, he's such a little comedian. I just thought that was just something they get to call people.
Yeah.
So I thought Comic View and things like that were just people who are like, hey, I got a funny story or a funny joke I want to tell. And one night I had gotten sick and I was up to like 4 o'clock in the morning. And at this time, I was a huge Eddie Murphy fan.
Yeah.
I've seen all of his movies and I was a really big Beverly Hills Cop fan. And it said on the TV guide, it said Eddie Murphy Raw. And I was like, I've never seen that movie.
That movie.
I thought it was,
yeah.
I thought Raw was a movie.
Yep,
so I started watching it and I was like, huh. Okay, he tells jokes, and then I just could not stop. And then after that, I was like, well, who else can do this? And one thing led to another, and before you knew it, I watched every Eddie Murphy special, every Eddie Griffin special, and every George Lopez special. I just couldn't get enough.
So, okay, those were your influences, but what was the thing that sort of inspired you to get into comedy, to be like those people you saw on TV?
Jonathan Silver.
Okay.
Jonathan Silver.
A previous guest on the show.
Yeah.
Cool.
He and I known each other 10 plus years, and I had never talked to him about doing comedy. I didn't think, I knew I was a funny guy.
Yeah.
There would be sometimes, like, in school I would have fun reciting, you know, jokes that I heard on specials. Mm-hmm. And then every now and then, like, you know, the kids would be like, oh, I heard that one. So I would slide something like I made
in there. So the personal.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd be like, oh, he also said this. And they would laugh and I'd go, huh, okay. Like, to me, I was really like, huh, I lied to you. Mm-hmm. You stupid idiot. And you fell for it. But over time, I was like, okay, that's, I could write a joke here and there. And one day, Jonathan Silver was like, hey, you know, I really want to do stand-up. And I was like, oh, you should do it. And he was like, well, no, every time, you know, you're over, we always have a good time. I think you could be good at it, too. And I was like, oh, you're insane. I don't want to do that at all. And he told me just, like, think about it and hit him up if I ever change my mind. And I went to a comedy show, and the comedian on the show was terrible.
Oh, no.
He was god-awful. And I was just like, huh.
Was it, like, a bigger comedian? Or
yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah, he
no.
was. Well, he was. Okay. He was a guy from Instagram who got popular doing skits and things like that, and then was kind of made that transition to doing stand-up.
So it was like
stand-up.
A stand-up live sort
yes.
of show. Okay,
it was my first time ever going
Levity
to stand-up live.
Sorry,
yeah, new Levity
now
Live.
Now it's Levity Live. Yeah,
they changed the name because of him. he killed that place. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I should have learned my lesson after you're like, you got those people in high school. I don't know. Call me gullible.
But now, yeah, after that, I saw him, and he brought this really funny comedian with him named Reg Thomas, who, okay, if you ever want to see really good stand-up, he's from Brooklyn, and he was hilarious. And what's so funny is while he was being hilarious, my girlfriend at the time was like, you say that, or like, you've said something similar. Like, he was saying
he
premises.
He stole your jokes.
Yeah, she was kind of saying that. I was like, nobody stole my jokes. I'm nobody. I don't even know who this guy is, but he didn't steal my joke. He's just really funny. But then that made me go, we're thinking
the
same.
You're really funny. Yeah, yeah.
So if we're thinking the same, I can tap into whatever he's tapped into. Mm-hmm. We can do that. And the second the show was over, I texted Jonathan like,
I'm ready.
I'm going to go look for an open mic.
Yep.
And that was 3 years ago.
Okay. What was your first gig like then?
My first gig was...
Did you kill?
I can't even tell you if I killed. Okay. My first time going up, I did pretty good. My first time going up at an open mic. But my first time on a paid gig, I was just so excited. They created a poster. I still have it. Mm-hmm. Any poster or anything that my name is printed on, I keep it. I'm very sensitive.
For the archives?
Yeah. Well, I don't even know that say... I don't want to say the archives. I want to say, like, you know, if I ever, I don't know, lose my mind when I'm older. And my grandkids are like, yo, Papa says a lot of crazy things. I'm like, show him the poster. I was there. So I keep them for reasons like that. I don't even know if I did. Well, I can't even remember, but I just remember being pumped. Mm. Well, nobody booed and people.
Hey, that's a win.
Nobody booed. And
I think.
My gosh. What was his name? There was a guy who was selling rocks, like crystals.
Rocks?
Yeah, it was really interesting. Okay. He sold crystals, and he was at the venue. And after the show, he was like, I really loved your set, And I was like, oh, thank you so much, man. And he goes, I used to be on crystal meth, and now I sell crystals. This one's for you.
Wow.
And I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
I still have that crystal somewhere. I think of him every time I see it.
It's a good omen.
It is a very good omen. Yeah. And apparently it's I don't know if you're like in a zodiac or anything like that, but it apparently matches up with my zodiac sign perfectly.
You have had a lot of serendipity in your life.
I am very serendipitous.
Yeah.
My life is very
sci-fi the serendipitous. Ooh, if you had like a D&D campaign.
I love that. I love that.
Write it down. No,
I'm just
kidding.
The luck. I'm writing it. I don't know if the people
actually writing it ASMR.
Oh, that's true. Somebody's probably at home like, yes.
I was waiting for this day.
I do like that, the sci-fi, the serendipitous.
So, okay, you have been in this game for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So having established yourself in the local comedy scene, what would you say your comedy style is and how has it evolved?
That is a very good question. I don't know what my style is. I really, I can look at everybody and tell them, hey, your style is this, you do this. I can't do that with myself at all.
What do people tell you?
People just tell me I'm relatable. That's it.
Okay.
And I feel like to make any joke work, you have to be relatable.
Yeah.
But I think I'm still trying to find my style or at least have a sense of what my style is, how it's evolved. Each year I've kind of gotten truer to myself in some way. Like, instead of making a joke that's just a general statement, like, you know, don't you hate Mondays? Yeah, everybody hates Mondays. I've started doing things like, you know what I hate about Monday? And then just say something super personal, like, you know, and from there, working that to make it funny. So just being more of myself, really.
And sort of like the delivery, I guess.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The delivery and... There's only so many things to joke about that everybody's joking about. So you get bored. I get bored really easily.
You have to
easily.
Put your own flavor in.
Got to put your own flavor. Or sometimes you get bored and just go, I'm just going to act crazy this set. I'm just going to be maniacal and let's just see how that works. You
Three
know?
Red Bulls in a row.
Oh, yeah. Just,
just jump up.
Haven't slept in a day.
Oh, God.
Let's just see if these hallucinations
really
are fun.
Yep. Huntsville's comedy scene continues to change. I mean, there's an expansion happening at Shenanigans Comedy Theater run by Kim and Jessica. Hello, Kim and Jessica.
They're amazing.
as we said before, Stand Up Huntsville is turning into Levity Live. Mm-hmm. What sort of improvements do you see need to happen? like that could better the comedy scene here in Huntsville.
The only improvement I could see is other comedians going into different worlds that are not the comedic world, because mm-hmm. I feel like we're so
insular.
Man, you went to college.
We're so $5 insular. NPR words. I'm sorry.
No, it's great. I'm about to write that down under sci-fi to serendipitous. We're so insular, but with music in, let's just use music as an example. With music, yeah. You can play it on the radio or people hear it and they go, oh, you like blues, you like whatever, mm-hmm. and they'll give it to somebody else. With comedy, you kind of have to go out and find people and bring mm-hmm. them in. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if we can just blend into different worlds, going into the Huntsville local music and, yeah. you know, meeting people, introducing ourselves, making those connections.
It's kind of like with the show that I had, Smash, mm-hmm. I had Raina Cahill kind of emceeing and being talent in between the bands.
Awesome.
So I see what you're saying. Like, that would be a really cool sort of melding of creatives in the community.
Yeah. And I think no matter what art style you do, whether it's comedy, yeah. music, filmmaking, whatever, mm-hmm. creative is a creative. You know, once right. we get down to the bones of it, we're all talking the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. You recently hosted a show called mm-hmm. Y'all Play Too Much.
Yeah.
Can you please talk a little bit about that show and whether it's coming back?
It's definitely coming back.
Yes!
It's definitely, okay. it's always okay. coming back.
Cool, cool. And any other shows that you host or are about to host, maybe?
I don't think I'm about to host anything.
Or would love to host. I don't know.
I would love to host anything. Yeah, yeah. I don't care what it is. If you have a bat mitzvah, I will host that. if you about to birth a child, I'll host that and make you laugh. A death doula. If you need somebody to make you laugh while you're going out, I'll host that. But
I'm going to write that down.
But Y'all Play Too Much is a show I created at Shenanigans where the spotlight is on comedians of color. So there's only maybe four of us that I really know of in Huntsville. And so the whole point of the show is put a spotlight on them, but I just didn't want to showcase with just black comedians. So I always throw in what I like to call a palate cleanser, which is one white comedian.
Palate cleanser.
He's the palate cleanser. She or he is the palate cleanser. And
the spritzer.
Just throw him in there and it's like, you know, just a little lemon on the tongue. You're like, wow, that's different. It's hosted at Shenanigans. Well, it's hosted. Is that the proper terminology?
That sounds right.
Okay, it's hosted at Shenanigans by me and upstairs in the black box theater.
Yeah.
So it's a show for black comedians put on by a black comedian in a black box theater. And so the show's tagline is Y'all Play Too Much, the blackest comedy show in Huntsville.
That's cool.
Yeah. Usually people go, why is it called that? I'm like, why don't you come and see? Why don't you come and see? Well, come on.
Nice. Do you see that show expanding?
Oh, yeah. I think that show is my baby right now. So I'm constantly trying to book it, constantly trying to figure out who I can put on it. And I'm just got the next lineup probably 3 days ago. So I'm going to be planning to set a date. So the next one will be probably in the next couple of months or so.
Okay, cool, cool. So like on the topic of Shenanigans, how would you compare performing at a place like Shenanigans versus Levity Live or, you know, some other kind of venue in Huntsville?
With Levity Live, I feel like it's like, oh, I'm playing in this big leagues and everything is kind of cut dry.
Yeah.
You're either really funny or these people don't like you at all.
Brutal.
They're just like, I paid a lot of money. You better make me laugh. And it's no problem with that. Cool. I'm going to make you laugh.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit more pressure where at Shenanigans, it almost feels like you're coming home a little bit. It's warm. Everybody's there. It's like, come on, let's have fun. Mm-hmm. Everybody who's there is like, I paid maybe half or a third of the price I paid at Levity Live for somebody who I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're just like, I don't know what I'm getting. And now it's even more fun because I don't feel so kind of restricted. I'm like, you don't know what you're getting. I'm going to make you laugh, but you don't know how.
Yeah.
You know, it's really fun. I love performing at Shenanigans. One of my all-time favorites.
Do you prefer to be in that sort of familiar space? Or would you like the challenge more so? Or do you find qualities in both that you appreciate?
I find qualities in both. I think you're never going to grow unless you challenge yourself and you're in that comfortable space. But it's always nice to come back home. You know, it's I feel like when I'm at Levity Live, people are just kind of learning who I am. And they're like, oh, you know, he's funny. I hope I see him again at Shenanigans. They're like, oh, no, that's sci-fi. You know, sometimes I'm at Shenanigans just there to watch a show.
Yeah.
And people come up like, hey, are you sci-fi on your show? Yeah. I'm just here to hang out, man. I just love, it's a great space to be.
Let's go back to your material.
Okay.
It's sort of unspoken when you think about material where it's hard for an audience to member to decide, do I laugh at this or not?
Mm-hmm.
And that can be abortion or racism or religion or, you know, just like all these taboo topics.
Yeah.
So my question is, in your opinion, when is it okay to laugh?
I think it's okay to laugh when you feel like laughing.
Yeah.
You came to a comedy show to laugh. Mm-hmm. So if there's something where if somebody says something and it's a little, you know, taboo, and you really want to laugh, go ahead and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's written for you.
Yeah.
I found it funny. Whatever comedian said.
It's not a lecture.
It's not a lecture. Yeah. I think so many people just kind of, they want to fit in the right rhythm of everything. Nobody's laughing at this or everybody's laughing at this. Mm-hmm. I should laugh. And it's like, no, be real. Be real with yourself.
There have been so many times where I've laughed so loud and been embarrassed. Yeah. And I'm like, no one else is laughing. Oh, God.
To me, don't be embarrassed. You're in the place to laugh.
Yeah,
it's almost like being embarrassed. You threw up at the hospital. Hey, you're sick.
Yeah. If there's any place to throw up, in the bed.
You pooped the bed. If there's any place to poop the bed, I've never done it either, but it's a fear.
I've done it.
You've done it?
In 2010, I had the flu and I was in the hospital.
Gave the year. Let's just say that. You could have just said, yeah, I did it one time. You said in 2010 at 7:30 p.m. It was November 10th.
It's the tism in me. I have ADHD. Okay, anyway. Sorry.
I love it.
Clinically diagnosed. Okay.
Hey.
Sorry. But yeah, it is. There does seem to be like some humor, like topics of humor where people are like, and like, I love it when y'all are like, oh, too soon, like 9/11 jokes or Abraham Lincoln jokes or whatever.
Oh, yes.
And then you're like, oh, too soon, you know.
Yeah.
It is the thing. How do you provide levity, like, in those cases?
I just want you to know, it wasn't until you just did that I knew what levity meant.
Yes!
When they said Levity Live, I was like, okay, I guess it sounds sexy. I didn't know what the word meant.
Just like uplifting or whatever. Yeah.
I think it comes from...
Ease the tension there.
Ease the tension. No, I think it comes from just being in any situation. Anybody who's, whether you actually do stand up or you're just a comedian in your family, you know, hey, this is an awkward moment.
Yeah.
You know what will really mess this awkward moment up? If I just said this and you just say it, it's not something you really think about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just second nature. It's like a reflex, you know?
What is the biggest lesson that you've learned in comedy so far?
Man.
That's been most helpful to you?
Three things. One, whatever advice anybody gives you, take what works, leave what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's a comedy show. People come here to forget about their problems and they just want to enjoy themselves. Always think of the audience. And three, be you. A lot. Four. Write. Never stop writing.
Yeah?
Never stop writing.
What is your writing process like?
It's awful.
Okay.
It's awful.
Okay.
I need so much more discipline, but.
So do I. Oh my God.
Usually it's just me talking to myself in the car. Like I'll say one thing and then I go, huh, that's funny. And then it just starts to snowball.
Do you record it on your phone?
No. I actually just started getting into notes on my phone, and I've started to do the voice to type.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, voice memos, I hate the sound of my voice.
So oh, no.
That's one of the worst things, like, watching a set back. I'm just like, going back and watching a set, I'm just like, ugh.
Do you watch all your sets back?
Every single one.
Okay.
Every single one.
Are you very critical of yourself?
Extremely critical.
Oh, God. Okay.
Extremely critical.
How do you find the grace for yourself then?
Because
you need that balance.
You really do.
Yeah.
You really do. So I grew up playing football.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that helped me get better in football is I would just be extremely hard on myself.
Yeah.
So if a joke doesn't go right or I just bomb a set, I'm the first one to tell myself, like, you're stupid. That was dumb. Why? Mm-hmm. You're awful. Da, 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 da. And I give myself probably about like 30 minutes of that. And then I go, okay.
Enough
of that. We have to fix it. But also, while I'll drag myself and talk down to myself, mm-hmm. like there's no, like nobody's business, don't let me have a great set or don't let me have a good show, because you'll see it. I'll walk off stage with like a little bounce. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I'm a god. You can't yeah. tell me anything. Yeah. But also with that, I give myself 30 minutes of that. And then I go, okay, it's time to stop.
That's a great balance, man.
I try. Yeah, I try. Yeah.
How do you take others' compliments to you?
I'll accept them in a way. Like, I'll be like, oh, thank you. I love to hear them. But I know deep down, like, I could have 10 people tell me, you did really well. If mm-hmm. I don't feel like I did well, or the timing of a joke was off, or I missed something, mm-hmm. the whole set was ruined. It does not matter what you tell me.
Yeah.
Because I know. You know, and it'll be so, that's the weirdest thing, too. I've had people be like, oh, man, that was a great set. I'm like, mm-hmm. no, it wasn't. Everything went well. I messed up on this part. I didn't say this. Nobody could tell. Mm-hmm. I could tell.
That's all. You're always improving.
Always.
Always making yourself a better comedian.
Yes.
Which leads me to my next question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where do you see yourself, like, ultimately? What's the big goal? Like, do you want a Netflix special or a world tour or something? Like, what do you want?
Man.
Like, do you have a day job?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ah, man. Yeah.
First, okay. is to quit that, if I could quit that.
So you want comedy to be all time?
If I could do comedy full time, yes, that would be the absolute perfect thing. I have three things that I would love to do.
Go ahead.
If I could record a comedy album and release maybe, I don't know, like, let's say 100 of them.
Okay.
Like 100 versions on vinyl. And in that vinyl, have, like, something special mm-hmm. just to the people who bought that 100. You know, like... Whether it's, I don't know.
It's like a fingernail?
Yeah, like, no. fingernail. It's a lock of my hair or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But something where it's like, hey,
just
it's
like a
us.
Random body part. I'm sorry.
a random body part? Am I Van Gogh now?
I'm just.
Is there 100 body like, parts that I could live
with?
I'm
just thinking like you're plucking like individual hairs out of your beard because you have this luscious, wonderful beard and then you're just left
Thank
with
you.
Nothing.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm making it so awkward. I'm sorry.
You're not making it awkward. I thank you for saying that because I cut the beard off.
It looks great.
Like, I think 2 months ago, and everybody told me it was the biggest mistake of my life and to never cut my beard off again.
You look great.
Oh, people told me I look like a steroided up baby.
I disagree, but okay.
And I had like a round face too. And sometimes I'll pull my hair back so it doesn't look like I have locks.
Yeah.
So some people call me a thumb. Like, you remember Spy Kids?
Oh, come on.
They said I look like a thumb. Oh, yeah.
Were they all literally all thumbs?
They're all thumbs. Yeah. I have a thumb face.
That's a thumb face?
If you have comedian friends, they'll tell you.
Cherubic dimples and stuff.
Like a cherub, like an angel?
Yeah.
You are teaching me some words today.
Write it down.
Cherubic? Yo, I'm not, man.
I was just joking.
No, I'm not. Cherubic. I love that.
Okay. But you want to do
100
albums with something special inside everyone. Okay, 2 and 3. What do you got?
2 would, of course, be like have like some kind of special or something like mm-hmm. that. And 3, if I could just have a tour where I can just take my friends, like all my comedian friends, like it's just us, mm-hmm. and we're just out on the road. I grew up loving like behind the scenes. You ever watch Behind the Music?
Yeah.
And they'll go on like tour buses and stuff. Mm-hmm. If I could just have that with like 4 or 5 of my close mm-hmm. comedian friends, like what are we doing? We're in Ohio. We're just doing this today, and then we're mm-hmm. gonna go do a show, and then we're gonna hit the road again. Yeah. That would be heaven for me.
There are 4 questions I ask every comedian who's on this series. First one is, do you have any hidden talents or a unique hobby that people might not know about?
Hidden talents? I was very fortunate enough to have the talent of comedy. I can clap with one hand.
No, you can't.
Uh-huh.
Wait, do it again. That's like Mr. Krabs type stuff. Like, I don't know.
My big meaty claws. that's a deep SpongeBob reference for
that's
you guys out there.
Amazing.
Yeah, I think that's my only talent.
What is your favorite corny joke or like dad joke or popsicle stick joke? Or...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Something that makes you laugh that you're like, maybe this shouldn't make me laugh.
This should not make me laugh. When I got out of high school, I worked as an after school aide, and there was a kid in the program who she was on the spectrum, and I had all the kids telling your mama jokes because I'm just a terrible influence to children. She got up and she was like, "I want to tell a yo mama joke."
Okay.
And I was really, my heart was just like, oh boy, I hope these kids laugh. I'm going to laugh, you know.
Yeah.
I hope they laugh and I hope they can, you know, be like, hey, it's her. Everybody laugh.
Yeah.
And so this one little girl said some yo mama joke to her and she was like, okay, well, yo mama's so old. And everybody was like, all right, let's see what she got. And she just goes, she going to die soon. And that just made me erupt in laughter because I was like, wait, what? And she said,
that is so morbid.
Yeah, I know. But it's like, you never see it coming.
She's going to die soon.
Your mom is so old, she's going to die soon. And she just said it with so much like punctuation.
That's
punctuation.
Like barbed, like to the heart.
I know.
Oh my God.
It's elementary school children. They're the coldest ones.
Yeah, yeah. Well, are they or are middle schoolers?
I think middle schoolers sometimes try to be cool sometimes, and that they'll slip up on that.
Yeah.
A elementary school child will be mean to you, not knowing. I had one. She came up to me. She was like, I'm selling Girl Scout cookies. Can you buy some? She was like maybe in like first grade or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, no, I don't like Girl Scout cookies, which I don't. If it's not chocolate chip,
fair.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's the only kind of cookie. Now, you can jazz it up. Chocolate chip pecan, chocolate chip peanut butter, chocolate chip oatmeal.
Double chocolate chip.
Double chocolate chip. But we're still in the chocolate chip wheelhouse. Girl Scout cookies don't offer that.
Sorry.
No, you good. They don't offer Thin Mints, I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Samoas,
no,
I love
thanks.
The people. But yep. I don't want the cookie. I don't like coconut
right,
in my sweets.
Right.
But I was trying to tell, but I didn't want to go through all that with her. So I was just like, oh, no, I don't like cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And this little girl put her hand on my stomach and rubbed. She was like, Mr. Psy, you like cookies.
How dare. Oh,
see,
my gosh.
She wasn't even saying it to be funny. She was just like, I can look at you and tell you like cookies.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know, which makes it even deeper.
Okay. Okay. Who makes you laugh the most in your life and why?
It would either have to be my niece, Zoe or Mia. Well, my niece is Zoe or Mia. Actually, yeah, those two. Those two. Because anybody else, I feel like, especially hanging out with comedians, we try to make ourselves laugh, and it's usually natural. But sometimes somebody will try to make you laugh, and you're like, okay, you're putting on to make me laugh.
Yeah.
Those two, they're just making me laugh because they're just saying the first thing that pops in their head. And it's like, that's talent, you know? So, yeah.
Cool. And is there anything else that you'd like to close out today with? Like, do you have any upcoming gigs or social media or anything
I can find you? Yeah. You can find me on all social media, Sci-Fi Got Jokes, S-I-F-I, Got Jokes.
You got it.
Yeah, I have to say it because people will be like, I'll follow this TV station looking for you. I don't think I have any gigs locally.
But if they follow you on social media,
you're probably going to
promote it.
Oh, I'm going to promote the heck out of it.
Yeah.
And I want to see y'all there. And come up to me. Come up to me after a show. So many people I've noticed, like, after shows, they'll be like, you did great. Or they'll be like, I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to bother. Just come up.
Just don't touch his belly.
Just don't touch my belly.
Or my belly.
Well,
I'm there at shenanigans.
You can touch my
sometimes.
Belly if you rub it gently and if you have chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
If you have chocolate chip cookies,
that'll make up for it.
Yeah. It's a good trade-off.
Well, thank you for joining me today, Sci-Fi.
Thank you so much for having me.